Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter, starting with verse 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Joan. I want to turn your focus to a few of Jesus' words and what you just heard. Verse 8, after talking about signs to come, Jesus says, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them." And verse 9, "When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified." And everything falls out from after that, this idea of don't be afraid. After that, all the things he lists, he's listing tough things that are going to happen. And this does not read like a recruitment brochure for Christianity, does it? But all of it under this umbrella of don't lose your head. Don't go chasing off. Don't lose your head. Don't be afraid. Even if they kill you, you're going to be all right. It's tough, but it's a good message. Now, the title of today's sermon is "See Design Proponentists and the Fearless Christian," and I'm going to unpack that for you in a minute or two, what that means. Some of you might already know the term. But first, I want to start with a story of one of my heroes. Some of you know I'm a huge Cincinnati Reds fan. Huge Cincinnati Reds fan, have been all my life. And just this week, we lost one of my heroes, 79 years old, Joe Nuxhall, was a pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds and also a broadcaster for them, been with them for 64 years in Cincinnati Red organization. Now, those of you who are quick with math realize that doesn't add up to something you'd expect. And Joe Nuxhall was not something you'd expect. 1944. World War II is on and all the able-bodied men are off fighting in the war, so they're still playing Major League Baseball. And the Cincinnati Reds are hurting for pitching. And they hear there's this guy in Hamilton, Ontario, who can really pitch. So the scouts go, hike across the creek, go over to Hamilton, Ontario, and see this guy pitch, and he's pretty good. But then, off to the side, they see this guy's 15-year-old son throwing the ball 85 miles an hour. And they recruit him, Joe Nuxhall, age 15. They bring a 15-year-old onto the team, Major League Baseball, make him a part of the team, and he sits in the dugout, which is what you'd expect a 15-year-old to do. Until one day when the St. Louis Cardinals come to town. St. Louis Cardinals, led by Stan the Man Musial. And they beat up the Cincinnati Reds. And they're leading 13-0 over the Reds. And the coach is feeling a little playful. And he figures, let's give the crowd something to look at. Hey, Joe, you're going in the game. 15 years old, June 10th, 1944. Youngest in Major League history. This kid grabs his mitt, and he's so nervous he falls up the steps and lands flat on his face in front of the whole crowd in the stadium. Gets up, dusts himself off, goes out on the mound, walks a man. That's okay. Gets the next batter out. 15 years old, he's playing against major leaguers. Gets the next batter out. Then gets the batter after that out. Two outs, he's faced three hitters, major league hitters, this 15-year-old kid, gotten two outs. Then he makes his fatal mistake. This 15-year-old farm boy from Canada looks over toward the St. Louis dugout, and there in the on-deck circle is Stan Musial himself with a bat in his hand. He's going to have to pitch to Stan Musial. And he loses it. All the biographies you read say, well, he lost his composure, which is code, pleasant code for he fell apart. And suddenly he was a 15-year-old boy. He wasn't a major league player anymore. He was this 15-year-old kid just off the sand lots. And what was he doing here? It takes him 8 years to get back to the major leagues. But he does as a pitcher for Cincinnati. He's successful. But the message comes in the fact that this kid at age 15 was capable of playing with the best in the world at the game until he doubted himself. Until he doubted himself, he was capable. And then his fear overtook him, and there was no coming back. Now, it's tough, isn't it? It's a great story. He lived a wonderful life. He used to, as broadcaster, he'd sign off the same way every night, and it'd be a message to his wife at home. Well, this is old Lefty, round in third and heading for home, was how he always signed off. Isn't that beautiful? Good man. But at age 15, he succumbs to his fears. So now let's look back again at what Christ said. Do not be terrified. Do not be terrified. Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. It's clear what Jesus is saying here. He's saying the same thing that all those angels have said over and over again. Now, the fear of the Lord that you hear about all the time, that's being in awe of God. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, to be in awe of God. Because God is awesome. But to be afraid for your own person, to be afraid for other people, it just muddles up your thinking. And Jesus says, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. You're going to go before people to testify. Don't prepare a defense in advance. I don't know about you, but me sometimes, if I'm thinking about a sticky conversation I'm going to have, I'll think of all the things I'm going to say. And then afterwards, I make up all the things I wish I had said but forgot. You do that too, don't you? You do. Yeah, we all do that. Well, Jesus says, in this case, don't do that. Just be you. Just be you. Fear not. Don't be frightened. ANOVA was a repeat this last week. It was on that case in Dover, Pennsylvania, where the school board tried to bring in a different textbook for biology class. You remember the case? You don't remember the case, okay? The name of the textbook was Of Pandas and People. And it was a textbook for intelligent design as opposed to evolution. And the school board, first of all, tried to force the science teachers to use that textbook. And the science teacher said, no. 10 years is a wonderful thing sometimes. The science teacher said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. It's not state curriculum, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then, 60 copies of this textbook showed up in the school library as an anonymous gift. And a note was given to each of the teachers to read that said, evolution is just a theory, it is not fact. If you want to hear another side of the story, we suggest this book at the school library. And the teacher said, no, we're not going to read that note. So then one morning, the assistant principal showed up in each science class and read it himself to the students. And turned into a court case. And I was watching NOVA. I was watching this program. And how to put this? You know, I should know by Sunday morning. I'm going to be preaching it. I should know how to put it. We Christians didn't come off real well. They did reenactments of the trial from the actual testimony, and they interviewed both the school board members, the attorneys representing them, and the scientists and the attorneys representing them, and community members. And this thing turned into a huge mess in 2005. I don't know if you remembered it. It ended up on election day. The town replaced the entire school board. Got rid of them. Just cleaned house. Got rid of them and put other people in. And the issues settled down in Dover. We're not talking about the issue of intelligent design, supposedly, versus evolution here. But what we're talking about is the methods that Christians use when they're ruled by fear. Because it came out in the process of this trial, it started out with the Christians saying, no, this isn't creationism, because we know that creationism is religion. This is something called intelligent design. It's science. And this book is not creationism. It's intelligent design. Honest. It's true. They subpoenaed all the back drafts of the book, the first drafts. You know, when someone writes a textbook, there's several drafts. And they came up with, among other things, this lovely phrase in our sermon title, "Could design proponent assist?" Where someone had gone through and done a find replace in Microsoft Word in the text, and just taken anywhere where it said creationists or creationism and replaced it with a word that they thought would pass. And they didn't do it too good a job, because they ended up with "could design proponent cysts." And that looked really silly. That looked really silly. Then they caught the chair of the school board, who was very proud of saying how Christian he was, lying under oath repeatedly. And several others too, lying under oath repeatedly. And the people who brought the lawsuit started to get death threats from Christians around the country. And we Christians looked so terribly ugly, because some of our representatives, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, ruled by fear, were just doing whatever it took to get what they thought was the right thing done. The end was justifying their means. And I'm watching this, and I'm a man, which means I have a remote in my hand while I'm watching TV. And I'm watching this NOVA show, and it's frustrating me. And then I flick through the other channels, and I come to one of those commercials. Have you seen these commercials? It's sort of a pass-it-on idea where someone does something nice for somebody, and there's someone watching, then they do something nice for someone else. And I see this commercial. And then I flick back to the school board president calling the lead attorney of the other side, this Christian school board president, calling him a clown who graduated from clown school. When we Christians are ruled by fear, we stop thinking and we get real ugly. Now, there have been times when I have just been arrogant in my faith and done nothing for anybody I approached. And then there have been times when, as Francis of Assisi said, I've preached the gospel and sometimes used words if necessary, where I have been out doing for Christ and been appreciated by atheists. Fear not. Do not be led astray. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be controversies. There will be all manner of issues that we will face. But just like Jesus says, don't prepare a defense. Just like Joe Nuxhall learned, don't worry about the on-deck circle. Just do what you got with this pitch. Fear not. Do not be led astray. We were not raised as Christian with a spirit of fear, but with a spirit of hope and love. Now, I saw Christian behavior on TV, but it wasn't coming from Christians. How sad is that? How sad is that? I want to be a fearless Christian. Do you want to be a fearless Christian? I want to be the kind of Christian that doesn't worry about the controversy du jour, but worries about that hungry old lady living in a home without any heat. I want to be the kind of fearless Christian that doesn't worry about the political campaign speech, but worries about those affected by war. I want to be the kind of Christian that votes his conscience and then goes and works God's will in the world. I don't want to prepare a defense ahead of time. I don't want to shut my ears to what the other people have to say. I certainly don't want to view everyone who disagrees with me as an enemy. I don't want to be a criticizing proponentist. Because in truth, what those people did was they just made gobbledygook nonsense of the gospel. I want to be a fearless Christian. I want to learn at Jesus' knee. And I want to humbly go forth and serve. You too, I hope. I pray. Maybe. Kind of, sort of. Very good. Let's go forth in peace. Let's go forth in love. Let's go forth in patience. Let's go forth in joy. Let's go forth in God and Christ, and serve our world, not subdue it. Amen.